All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Ms. Shante Nelson, Director of All Voting is Local. You know, when you talk about threats to clerks, I can't even envision why somebody would make threats to clerks. I mean, you know, a clerk and the role that they play, unless at some point in time somebody is inciting them to do that. Most people don't even understand the role of the clerk. So maybe behind that is something bigger than one individual who may make threats. There's something sinister going on there, on a larger scale.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if historically, you know, people as clerks were ever threatened or worried about it. And then the other thing is, what is the process? I mean, who's there to protect the clerk?
Yeah, so
it's not like they get their own bodyguards or law enforcement hanging around.
That would be wonderful in this moment, for sure. Right. Our clerks have been under attack since the 2020 election. Their role, their responsibility has been under a microscope as to how they governed, how they ran the 2020 election, what it is that they did, the things that they put in place to really respond to a pandemic. Like, we were in the midst of a pandemic and they were trying to do their job, which is a job that literally allowed numbers, scores of people to be in one space. How do you do that safely, except you incorporate some processes that will allow for people to access the ballot? And since that has happened, since the close of our 2020 election, some of our clerks have been under immense scrutiny.
You know, all I can think of is the elections that are coming up, the midterms, and then 2 years from now, the next presidential election, and the stress that is just going to increase in the visibility of those clerks and, you know, during the time frame that it's going to be forthcoming. Now, are you already looking ahead?
I am always looking ahead. Anyone who knows me knows that I am a forward thinker. So, yes, I'm looking ahead. I am also looking at 2023 election, because people don't always consider the fact that in Wisconsin, we have an election every year. So clerks don't get a break. We have a judicial election every spring in 2020. I mean, every spring every year, basically. So in 2023, we're going to have an election where we look at justices and things of that nature, sometimes school boards. So it depends on what's on the ballot. But we have an election in Wisconsin every year.
So are the responsibilities of the clerks different from state to state, or are they federally about the same thing?
I think overall, not all states have clerks who oversee elections. Let's put it that way. In Wisconsin, we have 1,849 or so clerks who govern our elections. In other states, there may be elections may be governed at the county level. And so, were that the case in Wisconsin, we'd have 72 clerks, right?
Right.
But because it's so decentralized, that's why we have the Wisconsin Election Commission, as well as the Wisconsin election staff. It's designed to try to provide some type of guidance across all of these clerks, some type of uniformity in the guidance to all of these clerks, so that they can do their job effectively. And sometimes in bigger municipalities, there has to be additional resources provided, or additional like people resources, in order to bring equity to the process of voting.
So when you see the assaults, the attacks that have gone out over the elections, the outcome of the elections from a year and a half ago, are you frustrated when you hear that there was all this fraud? Your thoughts on those things?
Let me tell you something. I am not frustrated. You know what that means to me? It means that we are making some progress. It means that we are doing some things that people don't like. I have said this and I will continue to say it. Black and brown people turned out in the 2020 election and it changed the game, and some people don't like that. And as a result of that, there are individuals who are looking to limit the voice of black and brown people. I mean, think about this. We had a whole, and are still in the midst of, an entire investigation of five of the municipalities. Remember, 1849, about 1849 municipalities that govern our elections. But we're looking at those municipalities that have the most black and brown voters in Wisconsin. There's an issue there.
So this is not just a Wisconsin issue as it relates to whether or not, you know, people say that this was stolen, that the election was stolen. It's still occurring all over this nation. And even though it's been proven to be a fallacy.
Listen, the elections were an election that people participated in. There was nothing illegal around how our elections, how people gained access to the ballot box in 2020. We were in the midst of a complete pandemic. There was no way for us to safely have an election without being able to put into place some things that created access where we didn't have it before. So those things, they were legal. I mean, we have courts that have stated that the elections were legal. So I will never even entertain a conversation around our elections not being safe, secure, fair, and legal within 2020.
So ballot harvesting,
mm-hmm.
where you know, I remember there was some kind of parties or whatever it was they were having in the park at Madison, and people could bring their ballots.
Mm-hmm. To Democracy in the Park.
Yeah, they could bring their ballots to people who were. What were their positions, the people who
received the ballots? Yeah. So what happened with Democracy in the Park, which absolutely was okay to do, in my opinion, for sure, was the clerk at the time appointed, that's how our poll workers are, right? They're an extension of the clerk's office. So they had individuals whom they had sworn in. They were actually working as an extension of the clerk's office, and people were able to drop their ballots off. It would be no different if all those people dropped their ballots off at City Hall, because City Hall had an event, right? It was just in the park. And I think when we talk about ballot harvesting, one of the things that I don't think those who are talking the talk regarding ballot harvesting has done is actually looked up the definition of ballot harvesting. Now, I'm just Shantae Nelson within an organization who has the thought process to actually think and look up what is the definition of this. Ballot harvesting is just that. I go and I harvest a whole bunch of ballots at one time in order to do something with them. What happened at Democracy in the Park was that is the clerk overseeing a process, which if they can't oversee that process in a park, how do we expect them to have an effective process of running our elections, right? So when I think about me being able to take my loved one's ballot to a ballot box, that's not harvesting. That is assisting. There's a difference.
Which was actually free for anybody, mm-hmm. to do that. I mean, that was not just, let's say, Democrats who were able to do that. Republicans were capable of doing the exact same thing if they wanted to, right? Legally.
Right, legally. Right. Legally.
So we've got to go to a break. Once again, our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I'm joined by Ms. Shantae Nelson. She is the director of All Voting is Local. You're tuning into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.